Good morning, Sower Nation. Today is Tuesday, June 16th, in the year of our Lord, 2026. I'm Dan Wilt, and this is your wake-up call. We are in June. It's amazing to think that just yesterday it was January, and here we are in June. But this is a very special June and a very special summer. It's a summer of the Holy Spirit for us. And thank you. I am just overwhelmed with some of these stories coming in, these Holy Spirit stories that you've been sending in, so many of us. And I want to encourage you, send in your Holy Spirit stories, even if you're not sure if it was amazing or something really dramatic happened. Just send in these risks, these moments of faith is spelled R-I-S-K, and you're serving, you're loving people in Jesus' name, you're being the love of God in a room, to a person, through a person, to a person, through a person, to a person. That's the way awakening moves, at the pace of friendship. And we are investing ourselves as seeds, as J.D. would talk about. In that seed is not just one plant, it's an entire orchard in an apple seed. You know, we are sowing seeds that lead to awakening, and you and I are participating. So seedbed.com/Holy Spirit stories. We would love, love, love to hear from you. seedbed.com/Holy Spirit stories. Or you can just email them in if it's easier for you, wakeupcall@seedbed.com. We're going to be sharing many of these Holy Spirit stories coming up, and we'd love to hear yours. Secondly, after this entry today, JD is going to be joining me to talk about it, and we all miss him, I know, and his dad singing the hymns. We are going to have a good time talking about this particular topic, about Jesus washing feet and what it means to be a Pentecost people, but also a foot washing people who move in the world in, as it's been called, a contrast culture, in a contrast culture to the ways of the world. And it's part of all the things ministry and the posture of the heart. So wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Let's pray our prayer of consecration together as we begin our meeting with Jesus. Jesus, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Jesus, we belong to you. And we're praying in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, today's entry is titled, Jesus Washed Feet, We Can Too. And our passage is from John 13, verses 3 to 5. Hear the word of the Lord. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. The word of the Lord. Consider this. Jesus, in the midst of doing miracles and moving in spiritually powerful ministry, kneels down and washes the feet of his disciples. We know from historical records how foot washing worked back then. Typically, the lowest servant would get on their knees and get their hands dirty, literally, by washing the feet of guests who had traveled dusty roads in their sandals. The water was muddy, and they would be muddy along with it. It was a messy job, but someone had to do it. I get emotional thinking about this. I don't know if you've ever really considered what's happening here. Let's meditate on what Jesus is doing in this moment. Jesus decides that this will be an image of the kingdom of God, and image every witness then and now would need deep in their psyche as they followed Jesus in a hardened world. Like everything Jesus did, this embodiment of the way of the kingdom of God moves like unseen yeast through an entire batch of dough and has impacted believers and unbelievers for thousands of years. Jesus' washing feet is an image that has captivated the body of Christ for millennia. It is the opposite of spiritual pride and spiritual power brokering. I have seen gorgeous, large bronze statues of Jesus washing Peter's feet in churches. Every year, massive foot-washing services are held in Roman Catholic churches and churches in other traditions, reenacting this image of how the kingdom of God is meant to work. Foot-washing is humbling. It is dirty. It is necessary. It is one person bowing lower than another to wash the lowest and most exposed part of their body. As we think about ministering in healing, offering prayer, words of knowledge, participating in power ministry where the Holy Spirit moves in profound ways through us, Jesus wants us to have the image of Him washing feet in our minds at all times. No towers of power, no statues of larger-than-life saints, no drama about our moment of fame or desire to be seen as more than we are. No Superman, no Superwoman, just Mother Teresa, just Jesus washing feet. Humble foot washing servants. That is who carries the kingdom of God, its message and ministry into the heart of the world. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, there is a quiet need in me to be seen for my natural or spiritual giftedness and elevated. Would you show me whose feet I am to wash today, literally or metaphorically, to keep me in the posture of heart I must be in to be your apprentice? In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. And here are our journal prompts for today. You can, I don't know if you feel it, but I sense, I'm just so aware of the presence of the Lord right now in this time we're sharing together. I'm so aware that Jesus, the God who washes feet, is in us and is with us and is teaching us as we apprentice with Him what the Master would do in this situation. When in doubt, wash their feet. When in doubt, be the servant. When in doubt, be the love of God in that moment to a person and lift them up. Whether you're on the street with someone who doesn't have much, whether you are in those towers of power with others, you be the servant. You choose the way of love. I choose the way that is the way of Jesus. Washing feet in His name. It's a posture of the heart. It's a posture of thought. It's a posture of the mind. It's our posture whenever we ask someone, may I pray for you? They'll feel that servant heart. They'll feel that love as we come with this posture of the foot-washing God in our hearts. JD and I are going to talk about this in a moment. So here are our journal prompts for today. Name a leader you have seen either literally or metaphorically washing the feet of others. What inspires you about that image? And how can you make this image your normal way of thinking, of ministering to others in Jesus' name? That'll take some time. Sit with it before Jesus. Talk about it with your someone near you or your band or your congregation or with others. What would that mean for you to become, for this to become normalized in your life, that people would look at you and say, all I know is they wash feet just like their Lord. Amen. activation, search in your area, I'd encourage you, for a foot washing service. Now, typically those happen on Maundy, Thursday, and there are a few to attend in more urban areas of the United States. So if you're doing this now in June, it's going to be a while. But if you're doing this at a later time, I would encourage you the next opportunity for you to experience a foot washing service, you just go and just observe. You could also view one online. You can do some searching. Go to experience the ceremony and to get the image in your heart and mind through a real experience. Even go ahead and Google or DuckDuckGo or whatever you use, statues of Jesus washing Peter's feet. They're out there. Get the image in your mind through a real experience, an embodied experience. We can think about things. We can read about things. But it helps us not only to see them and hear them, but to be in those experiences ourselves. Then make it the foundational image you have in your heart as you minister using the spiritual gifts that God has put in you and given to you. All right. Well, that's today. I'm now going to turn to JD and I talking, and then I'll lead us in a song of worship and bless you as we enter into some thinking together with JD about washing feet.
Well, welcome back, John David. It's Tuesday.
Yeah, it's so good, Dan, to be diving in here and keep in touch with Sower Nation and getting to be part of this with you. You're doing good work.
Thanks, man.
And I'm happy to get to step in to it.
It's good to be together, too.
So you went there today with the foot washing.
That's right.
And I love that you went there because so often kind of the spiritual gifts and the supernatural ministry and the power of the Holy Spirit, it just gets cast into a power framework of, you know, sensational things. And this may be the most unsensational, significant moment in, I mean, can we just be emphatic and hyperbolic? Human history.
Yeah.
God.
The painting is right there behind you as you speak, just so you
know. It's right behind me. And one of the things I want you to notice about these foot washing scenes, particularly the artwork associated with them.
Yeah.
I mean, the last time I checked, Jesus took off his robe. Okay, look at that painting. If you can see, if you're on YouTube, Jesus has still got the robe on. Very rarely will you see a sculpture or a painting, and Jesus has girded himself with a towel. Now, the other thing that stuns me about this foot washing is that Jesus has taken the most menial and insignificant thing, washing these feet. It's kind of like in those days. You know, people had the sandals on, and you get the impression that maybe it had rained or there was some mud and the caked on dirt and the dust and this had to be done. And typically there was a slave or a house servant that was there to do that. But apparently this night, no such person. And it's like you just get the impression that he gave them a chance to do it. And nobody took the bait. And so he...
That's interesting.
...says, I'm going to do this. And it's interesting that the text, this is John 13, he says, and Jesus, he says, now he showed them. He had loved them all the way, and now he's going to love them to the end. One of the translations says he showed them the full extent of his love. And what I marvel at is the exquisite detail with which John writes. He says these words. I've rememberized it over time because it's so, I've just looked at this scene. I've read this text and I'm like, I'm going to build me a little tent there. I'm going to put an RV on this property and I'm just going to go there regularly. Since he got up from the table and he took off his outer garment. And then he filled a bowl with water. and he began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel with which he was girded. Okay? He like, if I'm writing the story, I'm just going to say he washed their feet. He washed his disciples' feet.
Yep.
That's not what's going on here.
Right.
God takes on something apparently insignificant and menial and beneath him. And all of a sudden, John uses an abundance of words. He's taking us on the inside of it. I think what I'm trying to say is that all the things are all the things, church.
Yeah.
They are the hidden things, the inglorious things, the things that are not.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, have I ever done anything for another person that someone would describe with this level of detail? Wow. That it actually becomes art.
Wow.
I mean, this, you don't paint pictures of foot washing. That's just like painting a picture of washing somebody's car. You don't paint that picture.
Yeah.
But when God gets involved, it becomes a masterwork.
Yeah. This is truth at its best. I think if our posture could be that painting for people, they would describe what we've done in their lives, in that hidden place, with no fanfare, no one else seeing it, but they walk away with a memory of, you know, someone did this for me, or was Jesus to me in this moment, and the best metaphor they could find is they washed my feet. Man, we are right in the middle of the Jesus way, moving in the everyday power of the Spirit.
You got time for 30 more seconds. I got
sure,
time.
Go for it.
I mean, I was with this mom yesterday, and we were getting ready for her mother-in-law's funeral, and she starts telling me about how her mother-in-law, when she had her two children, her mother-in-law said, I'm coming for 2 weeks, and you will not touch anything. I will completely care for you.
Wow.
And she began to describe that with the detail that John describes Jesus washing his disciples' feet. And I'm like, that's it.
Yeah.
That she's describing exquisite love in the most menial, humble, even humiliating ways. It's not only hard to do, it's hard to receive. That's why Peter's like, no. This is a huge lesson. Thanks for letting me have the extra 30 seconds.
Absolutely. All right. Well, thank you again, John David. We're going to move to singing now. Thanks again. Bless you today, man. Today, we're going to sing King of Kings. We're going to sing the chorus and the first verse and then the chorus again. So let's worship together as we worship the King who is our servant, who humbled himself, who washed his feet, who takes the lowest place. And then, of course, God raised him to the highest place, the name above all names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee on heaven and on earth should bow and respond to him, say, he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let's worship together. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty, all praise forever to the King of Kings. And
In the darkness we were waiting, without hope and without light, till from heaven you came running. There was mercy in your eyes to fulfill the law and prophets. To a virgin came the word, from a throne of endless glory to a cradle in the dirt. Oh, we sing, praise the Father, praise the Son, and praise the Spirit, three in one, and God of glory, majesty, all praise forever to the King of Kings. We sing praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one, God of glory, majesty, all praise forever to the King of Kings, all praise forever to the King of Kings, all praise forever to the King of Kings.
Amen. We are moving into the world as people of the greatest servant the world has ever known. And that's the way we posture ourselves as we ask others. May I pray for you as we love others, as we encourage others, as we minister to others in Jesus' name. All right. I'm going to see you tomorrow. Send in those Holy Spirit stories to seedbed.com/Holy Spirit stories. Let's grab our seeds, and I'll see you on the field. For The Awakening, I'm Dan Long.